Yeah, take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 13, if you would. Proverbs chapter 13. When I was doing the study for, not last week, I was gone last week. By the way, appreciate Brady. And Brady, I just want you to know, it had a lot of people write in this week, and they thought you did a tremendous job, and mindful of the Lord, and I appreciate it. And folks, I want to tell you, be thankful that God, I am thankful. That God has sent Brady here. He is my helper. He is my brother, my friend, and I believe God's using him in a tremendous way, and God will continue to use him. You pray for him, pray for Amanda, pray for Bradley down here at Richwoods, and pray for him and Megan, and just lift them up. But tell him thank you. Okay? Tell Brady and Amanda thank you. For the help that they give here. I see all the emails and hear about the phone calls and everything like that, the messages that people send in about, you know, being thankful for our church and what we're doing here. Brady doesn't get to see all of that, but a lot of it's directed toward him. And I've seen several things come in this week. Thankful for Bethel Church, Pastor Mike, and Brother Brady. And so anyway, I just wanted to say that. Give the roses while you can smell them. Amen. Amen. So anyway, the Sunday before that, I was preaching like Revelation 10, and we was talking about the feet as pillars of fire, and I was talking about how you follow the Lord and follow His steps and walk in the direction that Jesus has us walk in. And in preparing for that, I run across some verses about the steps that we take. And there was a theme that I kept running into that I just kind of made a note of, and I've been thinking about it for the last 2 weeks. And I want us to, the Bible gives us a lot of good grace, gives us a lot of good promises and things like that, things that we can hold on to, things that we hold dear, because we don't have it all right here. Amen? We have something laid up in store for us that I'm looking forward to. We have those great and precious promises laid up for us. We have those promises given to us now. We abide by those. We live by those. We are called according to those promises. But also in the Bible, there is a very strong warning about certain things. Warning us about this. Warning us about that. The Bible teaches us about our adversary, the devil. Teaches us his nature, teaches us about what he does, how he comes after us. He's not a good person. He's never a good person. He's not somebody you can fellowship with and, me and the devil, we get along pretty good. Okay? I bet you do. Okay? He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. He's not anything but those. He's not our friend. There, he and all of his devils, and I will say according to the scriptures, there are people out there who are under the devil's control. Do you believe that? Okay? They cut in front of you on the way to church this morning, okay? But there are people out there, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, that the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And I'm telling you that if I were to look at the big picture of what's going on in this world, there's a trap being laid for humanity. A trap, a real trap to snare people. One of the warnings that the Bible gives to us is to be watchful for the traps that the devil and his people have laid for us. And in some cases, you're going to see from the scripture, we lead ourselves sometimes into our own stupid traps. Can you get an amen out of somebody? We lead ourselves into our own stupid snares. And so just studying the steps and how we're supposed to walk, one of the ideas that came to me according to scripture, and I'm just going to, you know me, I'm just going to go one verse after another here. Just to show you from the Bible that, number one, there's a trap waiting for you Anybody in here in the military was trained in minefields? Were you trained in minefields, Roy? Okay. And the enemies out there were going to have places that looked... You don't ever put a mine on top of the dirt, do you? Where you put them? You hide them. And then you do something that will draw your enemy through that path. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what minefields are for. You don't put them in a place where you don't think they're going to be. You put them in a place, and then you, as their enemy, do something to draw your enemy through that minefield. That's a trap. It's a clever one. The Bible calls it a gin, and I'll explain that in a little bit. By the way, gin is a trap. Amen? Okay. But let me just kind of read you some scripture. We'll ask God to bless this morning, and I want you to just listen to the warnings given to us in the scripture, things that we ought to be careful of, things we ought to watch out for, things we ought to be mindful of. And if you've ever been in a situation where you yourself have been in a trap or the devil's got you caught in something, when God lets you out, you're a little bit wiser than you were before, and you're a lot more cautious than you used to be. See, when we're young, Jared, we're not cautious, are we? We let her fly to the wind, buddy. We get down the road and we see that all that was a very well-laid trap for us. And so you'll tell Isaac and you'll tell Madeline, don't go down there. But Dad, I don't see anything wrong with that. Dad, they're good people. Dad, they're this. Dad, they're that. There's just something about this. It looks like a trap to me, and I don't think you ought to go in there. Am I saying that right, Mom and Dad? Okay, so listen to the word of the Lord this morning. Proverbs chapter 13. Let's start in verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. And again, amen out of God's people on that one. This land, this country will be destroyed. It will be, because this country hates the Bible. Hates it. Doesn't want anything to do with it. Okay? And to be honest with you, I know a lot of churches that hate the Bible too. That's sad. That's where it started, by the way, but that's sad. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. He's talking about your Bible. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Do you know what this Bible is? It is a map of where all the landmines are. Because the army that laid out the landmines, they mapped where the landmines were. Am I telling this right? Why did they do that? So they themselves would know where they were. They map out where they put the minefields and the landmines at and the traps. They know where they are. God is telling us that our enemies have laid traps for us. And if you will read this book, The Law of the Wise, you will find out where the traps are. Does that make sense to everybody? I've decided that I don't want to go through life not knowing where the traps were. I've decided that. I've decided that I don't want to go through life not knowing where they were. I want my wife protected. I want my family protected. My children, my grandchildren, all of their families. I want them protected. And it's my responsibility. I've been looking at the map, and I tell my children, don't go down that road. It's a trap. Well, how do you know so much, Dad? Well, number one, I read in Scripture. Number two, I went down there once. I went down that road once. It's a trap. It's a setup. Daughters, don't go down there. Sons, don't go down that road. Get in your Bible, because God maps out where our enemy put all the traps for us. And I'm going to show you some of those in a little bit. Let me read this one verse and we'll go to prayer. Ecclesiastes 9:12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net. How do you catch fish? How did the disciples catch them? Throw a net. Okay? And you know what? The fish didn't know. Okay? I got to tell this story. You remember Cowboy used to work with us? We had a young man that worked with Sterling and I, and we called him Cowboy because that's what he was. I mean, he was just a roping cowboy. And he was outside the shop one day, and he had one of them lariats, one of them big, stiff ropes. And as I walked past him, he was doing this with it. And I said, "See you, Brian. See you, Michael." And I walked past him, and I'm going, "He thinks I'm a cow. And I ain't falling for it." Okay? And I knew what he was going to do. So I took about 10 paces ahead of him, and I walked, and I mean, he was good. I could see out of the corner of my eye this loop coming around my shoulder and landing 2 steps in front of me. And I'm thinking, watch what I do. He thinks I'm a dumb cow, that I'm going to step in that. I didn't know when you run a lasso, you don't wait for the cow to step in the hole. As soon as I picked my foot up, he gave that thing a flip. And while my foot was in the air, he jerked on that thing, and there's my foot. And I'm going, "How did you do that?" He said, "Leave it lay and watch it pay, Michael." And I'm going, "You're good." Listen, the devil's been doing this for 6,000 years. He's better at it than you are. He's been laying a snare. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Now, I believe that we are approaching in this world a very, very evil time. And I can tell you from what I can see in the Bible, the traps are being set and sprung right now. And the bait is there. Antonio, you still trap rabbits when you can? Trap rabbits? How do you trap a rabbit? You just dangle a carrot. You just put something in there. And you'll get them. You get them, watch this now, this part of this, you get them with what they lust after. Are you getting some wisdom here from the Word of God? You get rabbits for what they lust after. So I'm telling you, be careful. But the evil time is coming, and the devil has waited for you. I have seen, I see it very clearly, with probably a lot of people here, probably more than what anybody knows. A very deadly trap was laid for many of you when you were very, very young. And the devil, because he knows the sooner he can put a person in bondage, the longer he can keep them there. How many of you believe that? And so probably you can go back in your mind and look at your childhood and say, "I can now clearly see that the devil led me, before I was even smart enough to do anything about it, he led me into a trap." I'm just thankful God is the one who knows how to unleash the trap. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this book. Thank you, Lord, for the map that shows us where the traps are. Lord, it is our responsibility to want to open the book and find out where they are. Lord, we may not like what we see. We may not, Lord, it may even scare us to know, Father, that maybe even in our own homes, the devil has laid a trap for us. But Father, we ask God, Lord, that you open our eyes, help us to realize the reality, Lord. It may very well be, God, that there's somebody here or somebody listening right now that when they realize what they've done, they'll realize, Father, that they're already stepping on the landmine. And Lord, they don't know what to do. So I pray, God, that you would use the Word of God to make them free so they be not destroyed. Lord, just bless and honor your Word as it goes forth today. And Lord, help me to preach it. And Lord, help me today. I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let me read some more scripture. Psalm 38, 12. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And I'm telling you, there are people, there are very, very evil people who will lay a trap for you. Some of you have people in your own family, maybe not living in your house, but let's say in your family, kinfolk and that know that you're trying to live a Christian life. They know that you're trying to walk according to the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. All it takes for them is to be lost, because then the spirit of this world works in them. And the devil, and you can raise your hand or nod your head or say amen to this, if you have seen this, the devil will use people in your family to lead you into a trap, because they hate the fact that you're trying to serve God and they don't like it. And they want to try to bring you down because it makes them feel better about their sin. Does that sound familiar? They don't like that you're serving God. They don't like that you are raising your children in church. Maybe you're trying to teach them right. Maybe you homeschool them. Maybe whatever. But they don't like that. And the devil will use them. He said, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me. The devil will use people in your family to set a trap for you. They are just watching and waiting for you to make a mistake. They're waiting. They have baited it. They lulled you into a conversation. They lulled you into a situation. They brought you to a place where they were hoping that you would fall to the same low as they are, because then they would feel better about themselves. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says we are a savor of life unto them that are alive, savor of death unto them that are dead. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason why they don't like you is that you smell like death to them. They don't like you because you remind them of their sin. And they don't want anything around it. They don't want that around them. And so their goal is, and the devil's trying to use them to lay a trap for you, to set you up, so that you'll fall down to their level, so they will feel justified in their sin and say, see, that's all them church people there. And to be honest with you, we're living in a time right now, we look around us, it's worked very well for the church people. They've been led into traps. And it's a dangerous world out there. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceit all the day long, the Bible says. This is all they think about. I'm aware that there are people, Brady, who watch our church and watch our services and our videos for one reason. They're looking to catch me or you in a trap. Be watchful for it, brother, because they're watching us, and they have already decided. There are people who watch everything that I put out in a week's time, hoping to catch me in a lie, hoping to catch me trying to deceive people, hoping to catch me in a mistake, hoping to catch me fouling something up so they can use it. And they'll do it to you too. And they've already spoke out against me and the people in this church. And I'm going to tell you something. I know the people in this church. You're all rotten to the core, but you're saved by the grace of God, and I want to see you in heaven. Can I hear you say amen? But be watchful, people, because they're out there and they're trying to set you up right now. Be ready for it. Can I be honest? I think that there are elements of our own government that are setting up the people of this country for a fall. Healthcare? Amen. Out of the mouths of babes, man. It's a joke. Psalms, immigration laws, joke. It's a setup for a fall, and it's real. Psalm 64:1, hear my voice, O God, and my prayer, and preserve my life from fear. I believe that God will preserve us. Can I hear you say amen? From fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. Listen to, God sat in on the meeting. God was there when they met together. When two people in your family or in your friends, when they met together to discuss what they were going to do to you, God was there at the meeting. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword. That means they're sharpening it. Whet, W-H-E-T. They're sharpening their tongue like a sword. I'm glad that I have something that is sharper than their sword. So you want to go to battle? Bring it on. Amen. I got something sharper than a two-edged sword. And bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. Did you hear what I said? They search out iniquities. They will put your life under a microscope to examine you, hoping to find something that's wrong. Let me make it easy for everybody listening. You don't have to look very closely to find something wrong with me. You don't. I have to be honest. I have to tell everybody. I make mistakes. I do stupid stuff. I say stupid stuff. I am stupid sometimes. That was for my mom. That wasn't for you. Mr. Carmichael, I'll call your mom. Have her come down here. And she would tell us what about Jimmy Carmichael? Yeah, he makes mistakes. Yeah, amen. What did she tell you the other day, Jim? That's what mamas are good for, amen? But they're going to watch you like a hawk. Wait for you to do something wrong. Because they think they can nail you with it. Here's the problem. When God decides to have mercy on somebody, He has mercy on them. And God is the forgiver of sins. And God then covers it. And when the devil tries to use it, you hear that song, what sins are you talking about? Amen? They shoot their arrows. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. And I want to ask you a question. Why do you think that our own government is recording everything that you say, every place that you go, and even the facial expressions you make are being recorded and monitored? Why? Why do you think they're doing that? It's to hold power over you, to conquer you. It's like confessing to a Catholic priest. If you told them too much, you should be very afraid of those people, because they know stuff on you that nobody's supposed to know. And do they ever use it to hold power over people? You're crazy if you think they don't. They've been doing it for 1,500 years. Psalm 119:10, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Psalm 144, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. The word gin, I had to look this up. The word gin is a shortened version of the word engine, which goes back even before we had cars. It was any kind of mechanical or man-made device or a trap. So like Antonio, a rabbit trap is a gin because you made it. You made it out of wood or whatever it was. Or these steel traps that men make, these are called gins because men made them and they're designed for one thing, is to catch you and then hold you so that you don't get out. Because what always happens when you catch the animal in the trap? What is the inevitability? You kill the animal. That's why the trap was set. It was set to destroy you. It was set to destroy your marriage. Say amen to that. Man-made devices that are... Listen to what the preacher's telling you this morning. Man-made devices that were designed to destroy marriage in this country. You got a list of them in your mind? I do. They're everywhere. They're designed to destroy your reputation, your name. They're designed to destroy your marriage, destroy your family, destroy your children before they ever even have a chance. It's what they're designed for. Can I get an amen out of God's people? The gins are everywhere. They're everywhere. You see, if we were to start getting real honest, we'd wake up and realize that we're standing right in the middle of a very well laid out and very clever minefield. And more than likely, maybe there's someone here this morning that's actually standing on the mine right now. See, the mine doesn't go off the moment you step on it, does it? So you step down, you hear that. If you're lucky, you'll hear the click. Now that thing is armed. And as soon as you move, you're dead. And how can you save yourself, Wayne, from that situation? Roy? You can't. There's maybe someone sitting here, maybe someone watching right now, who has told yourself, I can save myself, I can do this myself, I can do it on my own. But you ask anybody that's been in the military and they'll tell you, when you're standing on a mine and if there's no one around to help you, you're a dead man. Because you cannot save yourself. Traps are designed for animals so that animals cannot open the trap themselves and make themselves free. Are you getting this? Because if you think you can do it on your own, you're deceiving yourself. You, in that case, are the one who is leading yourself to your own destruction. Because you are self-willed and think that you can do it on your own, and you can't. And you're going to perish. The proud have hit a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside and have set gins for me. And I've got 15 more verses here to preach this morning. I'm not going to preach all 15 of them. But I am going to start talking about what some of these snares are. Okay? So we might get a little uncomfortable because some of these, we did them to ourselves. Okay? Exodus 23, verse 31. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Now I want you to get, if you want to take your Bible, turn to Exodus 23, because I want you to look at this, I want you to see it. All through the Bible, God warns us about being unequally what? When you put a yoke on an ox, does the ox have the ability to take the yoke off if he doesn't want it on there? He's not designed for that. Right? You don't put a yoke on an ox's hind legs because that's where his strength is. Or a mule or a horse. You don't put a yoke on a horse's hind legs because that's where his strength is. Put it about their neck and they can't raise their arms up and pull it up. They have no ability in themselves to remove themselves from the yoke. And the Bible tells us, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's a trap. It's a gin. It's a snare. It's a setup. You are not going to lead the other person. They are going to lead you. That's the purpose of the yoke to begin with. So he says in Exodus 23:31, I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out from before thee. So God said, I'm going to make your boundaries here. By the way, boundaries are God's safety lines. Amen? Who has a dog that you put in the backyard with a fence around it? Anybody? Why? Because that dog ain't smart enough to stay home. And what's going to happen to the dog if the dog gets out? You live in town. That dog get run over. That dog will get picked up. Dog get taken to the pound. You get a ticket, good for you. But that's what we do. Jesus puts the sheep where? In the sheepfold. For what reason? To keep the wolves out. Keep the dangers out. There are rules in every aspect of life, are there not? The companies have rules. Where you work has rules. Schools should have rules. Okay? Families should have rules for their teenagers, for their children. Why? Because families, moms and dads, remember the wolves. And we know that there's danger out there. Son, daughter, stay in our house. You go outside of our house, don't come home when we tell you to. You're in danger and we know it. Oh, mom and dad, you're an old fogey. You don't want me to have fun. Maybe so. But you're still in danger. You have to stay in the fold. And God said, I'm going to put boundaries around your nation. And I'm going to keep everybody out. But when you go in there, there are people in there that I want you to run out. So this is what he said in verse 32. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. God was warning his people about not hooking up with the neighbor's kids. Not hooking up online with certain people. Not going to, and you've heard me, I'm big on this. I think you ought to just really, really, really be careful about letting your kid now go to somebody else's house. Why am I saying that? Because there's weirdos everywhere. And you don't know what's in your neighbor's house. You have no idea. And so you tell your children, son, I know you want to make friends. Dad's telling you. Mom's telling you. Don't get into a friendship with these people. They're going to be a snare to you. They're leading you into a trap and you don't see it because you haven't been around. I've been around. I've been down at the neighbor's house. I know what's down there. I know it's a trap. Well, what are my kids going to do for socialization? Mom and Dad. You know what we've lost out of this country, Jim? We've lost how children look to and regard their parents and favor their mom and dad. We've lost that out of this country. We seem to get the idea that once they turn about 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, turn them loose on the world. Let them have buddies down the street, this and that and the other. So it leaves mom and dad alone. Now I'm going to tell you something. You got kids in your house, it's your responsibility to raise them. If you want them, if you want to turn out halfway decent, then you raise them with rules and guidelines, laws. Don't let them go here. Don't let them go there. I've made those mistakes. I've been part of that. I'm telling you, I've been down the road. I've been in the minefield. I'm telling you, it's a trap. Don't make friendships with the world. The world is enmity with God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, you hate God. See how simple that is? So he says, don't make friendships with the world. Don't go into associations with the world. Don't make covenants with the world. You know what God specifically said to the Israelites? Don't let your sons marry their daughters, and don't let your daughters marry their sons. That's what he said. Specifically, that's what he said. Watch out for agreements and covenants with the world. I may be dumb. I am not hooking up with the government health care. I'm not doing it. It is a trap. Who in here agrees with me? Raise your hand. It's a setup. And the smart people in this country knew it. It's a setup. So I'm ticked off this. Charles Jaco, who I don't like, he's doing a setup piece now. He's saying, you know, what's wrong? Is it really that bad? Is the problems we're having with the government health care any worse than the health care system we have? And he's, yeah, it is. But he's setting it up. And then he's saying, maybe we could just put everybody on Medicaid. Who's going to pay for it, Jared? That's exactly right. You see, this hillbilly ain't as dumb as you think. And I'm telling you, I'm not signing that covenant. It's a trap. Be careful, even adults. Be careful of the affiliations you get yourself into. Watch out for business arrangements. By the way, if you run a business, do not business partner with somebody who does not believe every word of the Bible. And even at that, be careful. Because you know why? You have unequally yoked yourself to someone who, while the Holy Ghost is telling you, conduct your business in a moral, right way, and I will bless you, your business partner is saying, you know, we can skim this, and we can cut this, and we can kind of get around this, and we'll make more money that way. And all the while you're saying, you know what, that's not the Bible. That's against the Scriptures. That's wrong. I can't do that. But you're in bondage now. You're in a trap with someone in a business partner relationship that you can't legally get out of. He said, Pastor, you're meddling. No, I'm telling you what this book is telling. There are applications of life that you and I ought to be careful of. And that's one of them. I had a guy one time went to go in business with me in drywall and painting. And I seriously thought about it. And right as we got started, he said, now, Hoggard, I want you to go to the bank and take a $50,000 loan out. Why? Well, we need that for startup. You know what I found out? He owed the IRS money. He owed money on his truck. He wanted me to pay his bills for him. And me go into debt in my name and pay his bills for him. And before I went too far, I said, we can't do this. I lost a friend, but I kept my money and my reputation. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it softly and nicely. I believe everybody's got to work. Okay? If you work in a situation where you're union or non-union, you have to. Everybody's got to work. And I'm not against working a union job. Not against it. But I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to the Word of God this morning. Don't get into a covenant with any workforce organization that will require you to violate the principles that are in this book. Amen, Brother Mike. Thank you for saying that. Because it's true. Who did they tell? Who did they tell you to vote for down to Union Hall?
Obama.
It's exactly right. Thanks for telling the truth. They told you to vote for the guy who's trying to put you in chains and in bondage. That's who they... Well, he's for the working man. No, he's not. He's riding on your back to get power over this country. Some people don't like that kind of preaching. It's that kind of preaching that would have saved us out of a lot of hassle we're in right now. I love you. I care about you. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to read. In fact, the next verse that I have on my list, and I'm going to be done with this, is for me. The fear of man bringeth a snare. I've said this before, it is in my nature to be scared of you. My sister and my mom will tell you, I lost every fight that my mouth started. Amen. Amen, Gene. Yes, sir. Hey, listen, he's known me most of my life. And my mouth started it up, and my feet ran away. Let's not bring that up, okay? It's in my nature to be scared of people and not say what has to be said. I am under orders to tell you, you better watch who you're covenanting with, who you're in agreement with, who you sign papers with. You better be careful what organization you're in, where you're hooked into, what affiliations you have. You better be very, very careful nowadays, because I'm telling you, the traps are everywhere. And I get 30 emails a week. Ah, you just like the Republican Party. That's why you hate Obama, because he's black. I get that stuff every week from people. Let me tell you something. I've slid out the Republican Party a long time ago, too. I'm not one or the other. I believe this book, and this book guides the principles that I stand on and believe in when it comes to the political scene in this country. And I'm telling you that coming out of both parties, there's traps in there. George Bush, that great Republican, stood as a witness over a sodomite marriage last week. I'm out. I'm not supporting that. I don't vote for that. I don't go along with it either. You should have heard my dad. He was Dick Gephardt Democrat all the way. And I remember my dad saying, well, I don't believe he did that. You know, we found out Dick Gephardt was supporting sodomite marriage. I don't believe he ought to do that. I voted for that man. I had that. He said, I ain't voting for that no more. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to my dad. The Spirit of God did. You don't like me preaching politics? This Bible is full of politics and political ideas. And I'm telling you, don't hook yourself in covenants and agreements and things of this world that's meant to lead you into a trap. God wants His people to be free. And you already know that there are certain places and in certain situations where you can't say what you really believe in. They've got you in a trap. Now, how to apply this further in your life is not my business. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not telling you to get out of your marriage because your husband won't do this or your wife won't do this. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to pull out your investment. I'm not telling you to do anything like that. That is not my place and it's not my business. That is between you and the Holy Ghost. But if you will ask God where the traps are, He'll show them to you, and then He'll show you how to get out of them. How many of you believe that? How many of you really believe that? Say amen. If you ask God to show you where the traps are in your life, if you'll ask God, God, am I on a landmine right now? If you'll be brave enough to ask God the truth, God has a way of getting you off of that landmine without you being destroyed. Okay? And that's later on down the sermon, and I'm going to be done here. But I want you to think about what God is, not what I said. I want you to think about what God said to you. and you be careful of your covenants. And God told the Israelites, don't make a covenant with those people. Don't do it. It's a trap. I'm telling you where the landmines are. Don't do it. So let God warn you. Let God help you and let Him show you where the traps are, people. I have to have God help me with this fear of man thing so that I don't get led into a trap where I'm so afraid that I'm going to hurt John or Sterling or Steve or Jimmy or anybody. I have to be careful, because if I'm not, I'll get too afraid to say something that needs to be said. And I'll let people hold me in bondage. And I've seen churches that told their pastor, you don't preach that anymore here. You've got it. We won't pay you. We'll fire you. I had a preacher that I knew the man. He was Mamaw's pastor, Mom. That they told him, don't preach that King James stuff anymore here. It's a trap. You know what he did? He obeyed the board. And he stopped doing it. I don't want to be in that trap. Let's stand to our feet.